All right, Matthew chapter 25 this morning in your Bibles. We're looking at the first 13 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no evil oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now keep your place there. This morning we're looking at this key thought, the church raptured. The next event on God's timetable is the rapture of the church. We're going to study it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this blessed hope that you have given to us as your children, that we are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, challenge us, stir us, help us to be more like you. And if there is one in this congregation this morning that is not prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus, that this would be their hour, that they make preparation, that they would come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. One day soon, and sooner than we think, Jesus will return for his church. Do you believe that? Say amen. He is coming again. He said, "If I go, I will come again." There is the story of a little boy who had been to church and heard the preacher talking about the rapture and the upward journey that the church would take. The next week, he went with his father to a large downtown building in Atlanta. The elevator shot up at lightning speed past the 5th floor, then the 10th, the 20th, past the 50th. The little boy turned to his dad and gulped, and he said, "Dad, does God know we're coming?" Well, when I think about that, I think about this. Do people know that Jesus is coming one day soon? God's plan is that Jesus will come and take us home to be with him. This event, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is known as the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about that the dead in Christ, those who have been saved and know Christ as Savior, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, that is Christians, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. That word "caught up" means simply that we will be taken out. We will be raptured. And so the next event on God's timetable prophetically is the rapture of the church. No man knows the day. No man knows the hour. Our Father only knows that time. But I can guarantee you biblically that Jesus will come. And we don't have to equivocate about that. We don't have to be ashamed about that. We can say, "I know that Jesus is coming." The only thing we don't know is when, but we know that he is coming. And so with that truth in mind, it begs the question, are we then living with a sense of urgency to follow Christ and to be ready to meet him? Verse 13 of Matthew 25 again says this, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. He said this also in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 42. Watch therefore. Then he said in verse 44, be ye ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So with this in mind then, we want to look at three questions as we look into the text this morning. And the first one is this: in light of the return of Jesus Christ that can happen at any moment, are we living wisely? Look at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So we find in the context that Jesus is speaking of something that was very familiar in his time on the earth, very familiar obviously today, but is a wedding celebration. And he talks about in the context that in verse 1, that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now Jewish weddings were known to last up to a week. Fathers, be glad that your daughters that one day will get married, that their wedding doesn't last for a week. I mean, it may seem like it lasts for eternity, all the planning and so forth that they put into it, but it was very customary for Jewish weddings to last up to a week. And the honeymoons were often in the homes where they were going to live. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? The honeymoon, they just went to the house that they were going to live in. That's where they spent their honeymoon time. That was very customary in the Jewish wedding concept. And so we find in verse number 2 through verse number 4 that Jesus spoke of the spiritual state of the wedding party. And notice here, he talks about that there were 10 virgins that were so much alike. For instance, we find in the context that each had their lamps. In context, each had received an invitation. In context, all believed their bridegroom was coming. But the one main difference was this: 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. Now think about that in the greater context of the rapture of the church, the soon coming of the Lord Jesus that can happen at any moment, and we can have people who believe it here but don't really believe it in their heart. They would be likened unto those foolish virgins, if you would. They're just not ready to meet the Lord. But the wise individual says, I not only believe it here, but I believe it here, and I believe that Jesus Christ can come at any moment, and it's going to affect every area of my life. I'm going to live wisely. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians with me? Ephesians chapter number 5. And I want you to notice 3 verses in the context. Ephesians chapter 5, and notice now, if you would, verse number 15, 16, and 17. Speaking of living wisely, and look what the Bible says here. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Why should we live that way? Next verse. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, this was written several hundred years ago, and times were evil then. How much more evil are they today? And the Bible says to us as God's people, as we are anticipating the return of Jesus Christ at any moment, we are to be redeeming the time, because the present days that we live in are, yes, great days of opportunity, but they're also great days of evil. So we are to redeem the time. Now, verse 17 says this: wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So wise people use time wisely. Foolish people squander it. I'm sure every one of us in this congregation this morning have been guilty of squandering time. You with me? I'm sure we all have. But I'm sure we also have experienced the other side of that equation, that we have been wise people and we have used the time wisely. In respect to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are challenged, yea, we are commanded to use our time wisely, because Jesus Christ can come at any moment. Now, the Bible then says in verse 17, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, why would it say that? Because since we have limited time, let's live our time doing the will of God. Now, I can't tell you what the will of God is for you any more than I can tell you can tell me what the will of God is. Now, there's certain things we ought to know. We ought to read the Word of God. We ought to witness and so forth. All of that is the will of God. But God has a definite plan and purpose for each of our lives. Therefore, let's not be unwise. Let's use the time wisely and live it as unto the Lord. Use our life living it for God. I can't think of a better way to live our life than living it for God. We are in a very self-absorbed society. It's all about me. It's all about what I can get and so forth. God's mentality for us is this: I want you to have a heavenly focus. Seek those things that are above, not on things on the earth. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming. Understand what the will of the Lord is for your life. And so when you look at these virgins in this context, who would you say that you are most like? Like the wise virgins or like the foolish? You take a moment and you ponder that, but notice with me, if you would, verse number 5. In verse number 5, the Bible says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So the second question that we must consider is, not only am I wise in light of the coming of Christ, but in light of the coming of Christ, am I prepared? Because this verse says that while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. That means all these 10 virgins, they slumbered, they slept. The bridegroom had tarried his coming, and so it begs the question, then, why did the bridegroom delay his coming? And let me go a step further and ask this. Why does it seem that the Lord right now is delaying his coming? Why hasn't he already come? Why does he not come now? Why could it be 100 years from now? Because it could be. Why is he delaying his coming? Well, first of all, I would say this, because God is on his timetable, not ours. He has just the right time for his son to come. Remember, Jesus says that only the Father in heaven knew when his son would come. He, Jesus himself, did not know. Only the Father knows when he's going to say, son, go get my church. Son, go get your bride. No man knows the day nor the hour. The delay in the bridegroom's coming, that Jesus is coming. And what looks like delay to us, please understand that God the Father in heaven is not wringing his hands, worried and all concerned. He has the exact time, just as he did with the birth of Jesus, so he has the exact time when his son Jesus is going to come. But this also begs another question: why would he delay his coming? 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says this: the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, son, men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, Jesus, his coming, according to us, is like it is delayed, but God is patient, God is loving, God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, because here's what we know, and if you happen to have been here on Friday night, you would have heard Brother Mike preach about prophecy. But when Jesus comes and the church is raptured, then begins the time of the seven-year tribulation upon the earth. And we know that that is not going to be a Sunday school picnic. It is going to be a slow outpouring of the wrath of God upon the earth. Those here on the earth without Jesus Christ as Savior are going to be deceived by the Antichrist. He's going to set himself up in the temple demanding worship. And by the way, that's why you know he's not the true Christ, because our God who wants us to worship him doesn't demand it. He wants our heart to be engaged and say, I'm here today because I want to be. Amen? Big difference. But in the time of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to demand worship, and if you don't bow down, you'll be killed. Here's why I'm mentioning that, and I won't go further with the tribulation, but just to say this. This is why God has a timetable. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you are in this congregation this morning, either as a teenager or as an adult, and don't know Jesus as your Savior, would you come to Jesus today? Would you receive him as your personal Lord and Savior? It is the greatest decision you will ever make, and it will help you, because one day when Jesus Christ comes, you will go up with the many who already know him as Lord and Savior. And we find that God is patient. He is loving. He wants you to be prepared. Each day brings us closer to his return than the last. But notice now verse number 6 through verse number 9. We must make preparation for his return. Look at this. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Well, now those virgins, all 10 of them, springing up out of bed. And we find in verse number 7, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather ye to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Here we see that the five wise were prepared. They not only were able to trim their lamps, but they had oil in their lamps. The foolish wanted to say to the, or they did say to the wise, "Hey, give us some of your oil so that we can go along as well." They said, "No, you go out and buy for yourselves." The five were prepared. The other five were foolish. They were unprepared. I read the story of a gardener who cared for a large estate in northern Italy and was guiding a visitor through the castle in the beautiful, well-groomed grounds. As the visitor had lunch with the gardener and his wife, he commended them for the beautiful way they were keeping the gardens. He asked, "By the way, when was the last time the owner was here?" "Oh, about 10 years ago," the gardener replied. "Well, then why do you keep the gardens in such an immaculate manner?" The gardener again said, "Because I'm expecting him to return." "Well, is he coming next week?" the visitor asked. "I don't know when he is coming, but I am expecting him today." And church, I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I am expecting him today. I would challenge you as a Christian to read some portion of the Word of God every month that would keep you focused upon the coming of the Lord Jesus. For about 4 years now, I read through the book of Revelation every month. There's 22 chapters. But I read, starting right there on day one of June 1st, I'll read chapter 1. You say, doesn't that get boring? Don't you pretty much know it now? You would be amazed, even though I read that every month, and I keep a journal of what I read, and it's amazing what insight I get that I didn't even see last month. This keeps me focused. It helps me ponder daily the return of the Lord Jesus. If it's not the book of Revelation, read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, but read some book of the Bible that talks about the coming of the Lord Jesus, because we as a church, God's people, we need to stay focused on the fact that Jesus can come at any moment. Are we prepared? Sometimes we can lull ourselves to sleep and say, well, I'm prepared because I'm saved. Praise God, you're saved. But we want to be more prepared than that. Turn to 1 John, would you? 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3, and notice now, if you would, beginning at verse number 1. 1 John 3, verse 1. Listen to the word of God as you get there. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3. And every man, if I could say it this way, and every woman that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. So church, here is the practical side of this. Jesus is coming. Praise God, I'm ready because I'm saved. But praise God, I'm ready because as far as I know, everything is right between me and the Lord. I am living pure before him. I'm living out a holy life before the Lord. And we find in the context that that is what keeps us ready, because he is coming. We just don't know when. But every man that hath this hope, it is a blessed hope, the Bible says. Every man that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now as you go back to Matthew 25, notice in verse number 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. In other words, these foolish virgins that were not ready. They knew the bridegroom was coming. They just don't know when. And so verse number 10 says this. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. In fact, the next verse, very telling. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Now look this way and listen carefully. One day, the door of grace will be shut. In Matthew chapter 24, in fact, now look again in the Bible. Matthew 24, look at, if you would, at verse number 36. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Remember now, if you were to read Genesis, you would find in that context, in Genesis chapter number 7, that when Noah and his family had entered in, the Lord shut them in. That door was shut. Now, lest you think that what happened next was cruel by God, you are mistaken. For 120 years, the Lord had displayed his long suffering with the people. Even though they had not seen rain, they had a prophet of God by Noah who said that rain is coming. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached that message and he built the ark. He preached the message and he kept building the ark. To the world, that may have seemed foolish. Noah, we hadn't even seen. And the Bible says that they continued on eating and drinking and giving in marriage. In other words, life was going on as usual. Yeah, Noah, you're just off your rocker. Yeah, you're talking about the judgment is coming, that rain is coming. And it came. And the only people saved was Noah and his family, and the door of opportunity was slammed shut by God. God had shut them in. And I can almost imagine some of those people when the rain kept coming and they knocking on that door, "Noah, let us in." It was too late. The Lord had shut them in. And here in this context, we find that in verse number 10, "And the door was shut." You see, I do not know when, but one day the door of grace is going to be shut. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." If you're not ready by way of salvation, then come to Jesus today. Five of these ladies were wise. They were prepared when the bridegroom came. The other five, anticipating the coming, or were not really anticipating the coming of the bridegroom, knew he could come sometime. And they said, "Hey, let us in." And the bridegroom said, "I know you not." Remember Matthew chapter 7? Jesus teaching in that context, he says that one day there will be those who will stand before him and say, "Lord, have we not prophesied thy name? And have we not done many wonderful works?" And then here are these sad words: "Depart from me, I never knew you." What's striking to me about it is this: yes, the words of the Lord, but the words of the people. These were words from, quote, religious people, saying, "Didn't we do this for you? Didn't we prophesy your name? Didn't we have this outward form of religion? That's all you had. I never knew you. You are never one of mine." And sadly, the Lord says to them, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And there will be people that will be at that great white throne judgment who, quote, belong to churches throughout this world, that, quote, went to church maybe just 1 hour a week, but they went to church, they may have given some money in the offering plate, they appeared religious, and then the Lord will tell them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." In other words, in the world today, there are those who are true possessors of grace and faith in the Lord, then there are those who are just mere professors. They know some of the lingo. They might even act the act. But the Lord knows the heart. And he says in this passage to these foolish virgins, "I know you not." I'm thankful, and I'm sure many of you are in this congregation this morning, that because of God's grace, and only because of His grace, you will not have to hear those words. Because you truly have turned from your sin, you have believed in Jesus Christ as the only way, and you have it nailed down. He's keeping you by His power. So you don't walk around in doubt. You walk around in great confidence, not in yourself, but in Him. Knowing if you drop dead right now in this service, you would be in the presence of the Lord. And you would not have to hear, "I know you not." But rather you could hear something like this: "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We find in the context, according to verse number 5, Jesus is coming. Are you wise? Are you prepared? Now here's the last question. Are you watching? Verse 13 again. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now church, this is the challenge to me. This is the challenge to you. We know here that Jesus is coming. Let's move it from here to here and stay alert. Not yawning, but yearning. Not just saying, "Yeah, Jesus is coming. What's the big deal? I know I'm going up when He comes someday." It is a huge deal. Because we need to stay alert to the coming of Jesus. Just this past week, let me ask you, did you think about the coming of Jesus at all? Did you even consider the fact that Jesus could come? He can come at any moment. And Jesus says three times, watch, 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 be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Romans 13 says that our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Titus chapter 2 says that we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So I ask you, church, are you watching? Are you staying alert to the coming of Jesus? He's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet Jesus? If He came today, I didn't read the verses prior there in 1 John chapter 2, but it talks about the coming of Jesus, and we could meet Him in one of two ways. We could meet Him with confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Or we could meet Him with embarrassment and be ashamed before Him at His coming. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm just trying to help you. I want you to understand this morning that those are two ways the Christian can meet the Lord. I want to so live. No, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But I want to so live that when He comes, if you would, I don't have anything to bow my head in shame about, but I can meet Him with great confidence because I have been trying to stay as close to Him as I can and represent Him well until He comes. Are you downhearted, Christian, because of some issue or your family is facing this morning? Would you just look up? Not to me. Look up. Jesus is coming. And one day, praise God, all trials and trouble will be over. But until then, He gives us sufficient grace until He comes. Are you ready to meet Him? During the American Civil War, General William T. Sherman drove his troops on his decisive march to the sea. In a fort on Kennesaw Mountain, he left behind a small contingent of men to guard the rations. General John Bell Hood of the Confederate Army attacked the fort, and a fierce battle followed. One-third of Sherman's men were killed or wounded, and the general in command was severely injured. Just as he was about to hoist the white flag of surrender, a message came through the Signal Corps, set up a chain of mountain on the mountains. General Sherman was within 15 miles of the fort and sent the message, "Hold fast, we are coming." And those few words so encouraged the defenders that they held on and kept the fort from falling into the hands of their attackers. Now, church, if you would, the Lord has told us, hold fast, I am coming. Hold fast, stay faithful, keep abounding in the work of the Lord. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, how I thank You this morning for challenging my heart with this message throughout the week to just realize that the church can be revived, the church can be connected, all these things that we've looked at this month. But it points us to this great truth that one day the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And oh, Father, how I pray that this truly is a blessed hope for us, that this is something we anticipate, we look forward to, something we are longing for. The coming of Jesus.